Greetings, Earth Explorers. Welcome to X Squared Radio, where the past meets the future. I'm your host, Brooks Agnew. In here, the results are always positive. We explore the mysteries of the universe and of the Earth. Whether you are driving across the country tonight or listening on the web while you're working on your favorite project, you are about to learn more about who we are, why we are here, and what we may become than you thought possible. We might go a little past your imagination, but have no fear. You will be safely traveling with us. Keep your arms inside the vehicle, recline your chair, and look out the window as we launch X Squared Radio.
And greetings, Earth Explorers. We're so glad I talk to you live from southern Mississippi. It's 51 degrees and clear. It might be raining tomorrow. You never know what the weather's going to bring down here. The solar wind is unknown tonight, but uneventful. The number of earthquakes are normal, about 24. None over 6.0, regardless of what you have heard on your Facebook alerts. Also, you have also heard that the Gulf Stream has stopped. That also is not accurate. We have heard from our researchers in the Atlantic, from Ireland and from Scotland, that the Gulf Stream has been measured over the last 25 years. The data has been collected via a string of buoys that has very carefully measured the Gulf Stream and has determined that the Gulf Stream is alive and well. So those of you that have heard that rumor that the Gulf Stream has stopped, relax, it's just fine. However, weather anomalies do not cease to amaze meteorologists and also solar scientists as the southern hemisphere suffers through unprecedented rainfall. As you know, if you've been watching the news or reading online news, Australia has been going through unbelievable rainfall and red mud floods that have literally driven people out of their homes, driven towns as refugees into the mountains. Really unprecedented. Since Australia has been founded, they have never had rainfall like this before. At the same time, we are, according to Fox News and other the Weather Channel, we have had weather 12 to 20 degrees below normal this winter for this time of year. In the Northern Hemisphere, that is to say in the United States. So weather extremes abound just as they did last year. Eastern Kentucky now in their third week of snowfall. Last year, there was 21 days of snowfall in a row, which is really unprecedented, really, since the earth cooled in that area. And North Carolina, about normal. They have had some ice, some snow, of course, a white Christmas, and are threatened with snow this next week, but really nothing totally out of the ordinary. The Midwest, however, is suffering from weather, really record-breaking weather. So those of the scientists that are out there that are pontificating that global warming is nothing but a myth, it is nothing but a hobby, nothing but a political pry bar to get money out of the public, to alert them to some kind of government program, relax a little bit. Extreme weather is upon us. Is it a symptom of global warming? Some say yes, some say no. I will tell you this. There are a lot more symptoms to this than meet the eye. As you know, if you've been listening to X Squared Radio, there have been birds, fish, several species of birds, by the way, not just red, you know, winged blackbirds, but also doves and ducks and other birds that have really just stopped breathing midair and plunged into the ground at, you know, whatever they fly at, 70 miles an hour, and smashed into the ground by the thousands, by the tens of thousands, not only in Arkansas, but in Texas and Louisiana, and now in other countries as well. So many people are throwing their arms up, you know, searching for various explanations as to why these birds would hurl themselves into the ground with no symptoms, in mass, not sick at all. Believe me, birds that are sick don't fly. Birds that are sick roost. They grip their feet around the branch and they get sick and they keel over and they die, but they don't fly. These birds seem to exhibit the same symptoms, and that is that they simply stop breathing. They exhibit the effects of high altitude sickness. That is to say, instead of flying at 400 or 500 feet above sea level, they're like flying above 20,000 feet above sea level, and they just run out of air and plunge into the ground. Now, that isn't normal, regardless of what zoologist, what ornithologist wants to give you his opinion. That is not normal. That is not effective science. What is effective science is that there is some anomaly that is affecting their breathing mechanism. And what makes sense, at least from our point of view, is that the Earth's magnetic fields are drifting, or they're changing, or they're moving in such a way that these birds, these fish, these crabs, various animals, cannot rely upon that magnetic field. And if you've ever noticed red-winged blackbirds as they fly in the sky, they fly as a school. They fly like fish in the sky. So they rely upon very minute changes, or at least stability in the Earth's magnetic field in order to navigate, in order to move, they rely upon it in order to fly stably. So when that magnetic field begins to drift, they just apparently turn belly up and head straight into the earth. And that is what zoologists and ornithologists cannot come to terms with. So I have a guest on tonight. He's coming on in about half an hour. I have Saeed David Farman. He is with a program called Alien Shift. And if you listen to his program, you will definitely be exposed to all kinds of very leading edge, very open-minded thinking about what is happening to the Earth, not only with respect to human consciousness, but also cosmology, and also even channeling and various effects on human consciousness. Now, we have great respect for Saeed David Farman. He is out there on the leading edge. He is taking a great risk in putting his program out there and in providing a way for others like very forward thinkers, like UFO speculators and alien speculators, and even speculators on the human consciousness and what's going on the earth, to have an avenue to speak their mind, to bring it out. I myself have been on his program several times, and I enjoy David. I enjoy being on his program. I enjoy expressing myself. I greatly enjoy his audience. And he does something with talk radio that we don't do here. He does a lot of video. He does a lot of video conferences. He really pushes the envelope as far as media for those of us that are interested in this genre to get our thoughts and our ideas out there before you, the listener, and even the viewer. And for that, we have great respect. And so he's coming on at the top of the hour to talk about Alien Shift, to talk about a new hope for humanity, and perhaps to give you some ideas that you might not have heard on this program before. Now, in the news this hour, especially this half hour, what I would like to talk about is a very current event with a lot of high energy. As you know, President Obama has recently, like in the last few days, appointed a new head of this economic recovery. If you listen to the news, you will know that, well, we have recovered from the economic collapse left over from George Bush. And we have now reversed the depression into which we slipped post George Bush. We have turned the corner, and now we are headed to new economic prosperity. And so now we need a new head of economic recovery. And that new head, according to Obama, has been appointed as or from the CEO of General Electric. I'll let that sink in for a second. Yes, that's true. The chief executive officer for General Electric. Now, those of you that have listened to this program before or might be astute enough to have picked up this point in the news before will know that this CEO of General Electric is also the same individual that has aggressively led General Electric from a $40 per share value of his company to a $20 per share value for his company. Now, I don't know if you know or you recognize the trend that I just mentioned, but that is roughly half what its original value was before he took over. That would be enough to raise your eyebrows, but I have one more point to add to it. If you have listened to this program before, you noticed that in the last few months, $3.3 trillion, with a T, not billion, not million, but trillion dollars of American taxpayer money was given, I mean given, at 0.0% interest to a choice few companies, global corporate companies, not local companies, not U.S. companies, not French companies, not German companies, global corporate companies at 0.0% interest, $3.3 trillion. Why? Because the Fed, who is the organization, the private organization that gave this money away at 0.0% interest, without congressional approval, without congressional knowledge, without presidential knowledge, and without presidential approval, but that might not be true. But certainly, Congress did not know about it. And companies that did not need it, they were not in debt, they were not behind, they were not in bankruptcy, took the money. Because after all, the lending rate was irresistible. I mean, how many of you, can I see by a show of hands? Raising my hand right here. How many of you would not have accepted money from the Fed to borrow indefinitely with no terms of repayment at 0.0% interest. Oh, it's almost unanimous. How about that? And at the top of the list, number one, top of the list, guess who it was? Oh, over there in the corner, you're exactly right. General Electric. That's right. General Electric accepted billions of dollars of money, graciously donated at 0.0% interest from the American taxpayer with no terms of repayment. Wow, what a deal. And now it's time for payback. Yes, indeed. It's time for payback. So President Obama has appointed the CEO of none other than General Electric as the new czar for economic recovery. Yes, indeed. And where did they shoot this unprecedented film, this wonderful filmed announcement to the world? Oh, yes. At General Electric's generator plant. And what picture did they have in the background? Ah, those of you that are very astute picked it up right away. That's right. They're generators from nuclear power plants. Exactly right. These aren't small generators. These aren't wind generators that are used in your home. These aren't generators that are used to charge up batteries in electric cars. These are nuclear power generators. Exactly right. But if you listen to the words of General Pontificator, Mr. Social Organizer Obama, also happens to be President of the United States, these would be generators that would power electric cars. These would be generators that would power the average household of the average American. Absolute nonsense and lies. And so now you know what the truth is. Now you know what Obama is promising to us all. American taxpayers, have no fear. For you are giving your hard-earned tax dollars to someone who is wiser than you, who knows to give your money at 0.0% interest to the Fed and on to General Electric, who will then be appointed to lead us out of economic disparity. Now, you know the current news of the day. Also, relative to space news, this week, between last Sunday and this Sunday, the largest rocket ever launched from the West Coast was launched with the biggest military payload in history into space. I would like to be able to tell you what that payload was, but I can't. I can't, not because it's classified, but because I don't know what it was. And neither do you, and neither does anybody outside the ranks of the Pentagon. Nobody knows what that military payload was. It was so secret and so large and so expensive, no one knows what it was. Now we can think about it. We can say, what kind of payload would you launch into space? Would you launch a payload pointed at Earth? Would you launch a payload pointed at space? What would you launch that would be so secret and so heavy that you would need a rocket launched not from Cape Canaveral, not from Texas, not from the equator, but from the West Coast. Why would you need to launch something so heavy and so secret that would reach out into space and point back at us? Now, you might have heard a little passion in my voice this half hour. That's okay. That's okay. I am passionate about this. I feel strongly about this. You feel the energy in my voice? It's because I have energy in my voice. And I want to hear your thoughts on this. I want to hear what you think about it. I want to know why it is that the American people thinks it's perfectly fine. Back to work. To not think about what's going on. Worry about what it is the federal government is doing with our tax dollars. What we're launching out into space. What it is that we are spending our tax dollars on. Who are we protecting ourselves against? There's no army. There's no uniform. There are no airplanes or tanks or carriers or anything pointed at our country. Why would we need to do this? I welcome your thoughts. 530-413-4511. In 20 minutes, we have David Saeed Farman coming on the program. He is the leader of Alien Shift Radio, Alien Shift Program. He often produces videos and radio programs that go out all over the world with all kinds of speakers as the new hope for humanity. He is trying to bring messages from various leaders around the world, whether it be in energy, whether it be in politics, whether it be in human consciousness, to human awareness. And we invite you to join us with him in about 20 minutes right here on X Squared Radio. I don't know why we're having problems with playing our music tonight, but we are. So we might not be able to take a musical break. I know that you listeners to X Squared Radio are used to listening to scientific pontifications and scientific ideas. But tonight, there is such powerful politics at work. That I thought it was appropriate to bring those ideas to you and have you comment on that. If you want to call back in, you want to talk about this, we often, you know, we don't normally do political ideas, but the forces that are at work on our planet right now are pointed toward really changing the face of our planet. It doesn't just have to do with global warming. It doesn't just have to do with economics. It has to do with allowing human consciousness to come to fruition in this country. Those of us that are thinking ideas, that are pushing those ideas, that are putting our energy and our faith and our even our money behind those ideas, are not seeing them fruition because they reached a glass ceiling in our country, our world. And whether it's new energy or whether it's new consciousness or whether it's meditation or whether it's self-help or whatever it is that we're trying to bring to mass awareness, so that the human race can turn itself around, it can point itself in a new direction, it can take leadership, it can assume responsibility for itself here on the earth, individual by individual, community by community, nation by nation, it is being held back, it is being stifled, it is being treated as though it is fringe. A wet blanket is being thrown upon it, and it is not allowed to come to light, to come to energy, to gain momentum, to roll down the highway, to reach the mainstream airways. And we, the people, feel some frustration with that, whether it's leading-edge physics or whether it's leading-edge politics or whether it's economics. We all feel the same way, as do you. So, from many different aspects, we are coming at this problem, or we are coming at this challenge of bringing the human race to the next level of metamorphosis, bringing it to its inevitable I was going to say evolution, which is probably a good word. We feel the same frustration. Here we are moving along at an ever-increasing level of awareness. We are connected to the internet. We're connected to one another. We're communicating with each other by cell phone, good night, people. What were we doing before cell phones? We got a page, we pulled over to the side of the highway, we found a payphone, we dialed a number. Hey, we thought that was high tech. Come on, we are moving at such a rate of communication globally in a community way that we are able to make a change in the morphology, in the presence of human consciousness, that we have never been able to make before. So here we are. We're able to make this change. We're able to get our ideas out there. We're able to be heard, whether it's on Facebook or Twitter or internet radio or email. We are able to be heard. And ideas, flaws in the society of humanity, are able to be made known in a much more rapid fashion. So my question to you, the listener, is if you had any change to make in the path of humanity, all obstacles aside, that is to say, if you had ultimate money, if you had no obstacles in your way, what would be the change that you would make in human society? What would you say? If you had the political bully pulpit right now, what would you say? What would you say? What truth, what guidance would you offer the world right now? And please, put down your thoughts, 25, 30 words or less. Write it down really quickly, cocktail napkin or a piece of paper or a paper bag or the back of your hand. And call in at 530-413-4511, 530-413-4511, and let us know. Now, you've probably done a little bit of thinking about this. Oh, I want a flat tax. Oh, I want a national sales tax. I want the government to get out of our back pocket. Okay, come on, be a little more specific. Give us a little more information. Now, I'm not talking about politics. I'm talking about the energy behind politics. I'm talking about the humanity behind what needs to be said in the platform of 2012. You've got the presidential candidates squaring off right now. Okay? You might be happy with the lineup. You might not be happy with the lineup. But for sure, you're probably not happy with what the platform is. So why don't you call in and let me know right here, X Squared Radio Live. It'll be forever in the archives. People will be able to access it. Tell us what you think is the path for humanity for the next 4 years, for the next 10 years. 530-413-4511. Yes, we talk about science. Yes, we talk about solar activity. We talk about the nature of planetary core geology here. We talk about consciousness being involved in the creation of matter. Absolutely. But what is at the lead? What strikes the hammer the loudest with respect to the consciousness of the human race right now seems to be the voice of our leaders. So can we please answer the question, if you were leading right now, what would you say? What would you do? What would be the subject of your leadership? Even if the light was not shined upon you, if you were speaking from the sidelines, behind the curtain, prompting the person that lost his way on the teleprompter, what would you say? Many people are lost in the financial logic of our society. My goodness, how do we create jobs? How do we get science involved in the way we do business every single day? Now, I know a lot of small business owners, and I can tell you, not one of them, not a single one of them would not hire a person if they could. If they had the phone ring just a few more times a month with another order, they would hire someone. Of course they would. Of course they would. They would lead us out of this economic quandary if they just had the phone ring a few more times. But you can't get the phone ringing if the people that are on the other end don't have a job. How do we solve this problem? Joe from Idaho, you're on line one. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Brooks. I called a couple of weeks ago when we were talking about HAARP and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But I have had this idea, and I've called into a lot of shows, and I think that this is important. And I think that I probably have been targeted for this. But all I got to say is enough is enough is enough of all of it. I mean, we have to pay them for permission to have a sewer or we're not a good enough parent. We pay them for permission to build a house or we're not good enough parent. Even if we build our house and we don't go in debt a dime, they still come and say they own our house. Well, they push the drug pushers on the 6 o'clock news, push their drugs on us, and literally push it right up our noses. And they don't tell us the truth, and they keep knowledge to themselves. And all I got to say is it's time to forget about their money and about their way of politics. Don't vote. Don't vote. Don't anybody show up to the polls. Just say, we've had enough. Don't write to your politicians unless it's a letter saying, you guys are all a bunch of paid-off, whore-beast combo type thing that's in Revelations. That the thing that we need to do is start educating ourselves. Go to the libraries, find books with whatever you little you got, and this is what it comes right down to. Is the health of our children more important or hanging on to this house in the suburbs, or hanging on to the cars, or hanging on to whatever. I suggest it's time to gather old folks out of old folks' homes. It costs too much. It doesn't work. Bring them home, treat them like elders, and listen to them like elders. Take our children out of the indoctrination centers, put them on our backs as papooses, and teach them to live so that they watch how we do everything from scrubbing the floors, washing the dishes, to putting magnets together to build our own generators. Let's do things ourselves. Now, maybe people don't have the education, but this is where community comes in and families. And we can say that there's too much population. We got to limit the population. We can't have enough family, or we can't have too many people in our family because it'll destroy the planet. But there is a lot of empty space. It's been gated off. It's been taken away from us. It's time to become good stewards of the land. Quit calling wild animals game and sport and treat them as wild animals and try to raise our own foods. Literally beat our swords into plowshares except for enough to protect ourselves and take our picks and our hoes and go occupy the land. Is it better to keep your children alive and have your freedom, or is it better to have your house and your car and your way and your Disney and everything else in the suburbs or wherever it's at, even me in rural Idaho? It would be better that my children live and that they learn. And by the time they are seven, they're starting to say, I want to learn about astrology. I want to learn about magnet motors. I want to learn about cows and sheep. I want to learn art. I want to learn music. Quit equating money to anything. Forget money. You can't eat it. It doesn't burn well. It's not comfortable to sit on. Forget money. For those who have any spiritual belief, their gold and silver will not save them in those days. Their money will not save them. What do we need to live? We need to have food and warmth. And if we're going to be healthy, we need those we love around us. And we can't do that when they're getting cancers and being sick. And when you see a jet flying over, and I don't care, they've already arrested me before, shoot the doggone thing down if it's spraying you. This is a matter of self-defense. It's become
I understand where you're coming from. Let me throw in my thoughts here real quick. I have lots of friends that have reached the pinnacle of their sciences, and pretty much they think the way that you do, in the sense that we should give up our desire for the material goods of the world, for immense wealth, for houses more than we can live in. I think we did an economic study one time, not on this program, but years ago, and we found that the most money that the average person could spend is about $770,000 a year. That's all you can eat, that's all you can wear, that's all you can drive, that's it. That's all the money you could go through, and yet we have lots and lots of individuals in this country that are making millions, tens of millions of dollars a year. So I'm with you in that how much is enough, where you said enough is enough and is enough. I got that. But, well, you know, there's no limit to the growth of human intellect and human imagination. And so we've got to leave the ceiling open for everyone. That being said, the government, or let's not even call it the government, let's call it the peaceful conglomeration of your bureaucracies that exist at the state and federal level. They take all of our money and they spend it on themselves, not on us, on themselves. Now, we could bring that to an end, but I don't think we could bring it to an end by not voting. So do you have a more proactive, more involved way of solving the problem?
Well, all I can say is, why vote for a pighead? They're all pigheads. Might some say, oh, this guy's a good guy, this guy's a good guy. I listened to the Libertarian Party a little while ago. They're talking about nuclear power plants. We have zero-point energy. We know how. It's easy to build at home. All we need is the magnets. Again, this is where community comes with. Through a blacksmith, somebody with a generator, somebody with cows, somebody who grows their own seeds. We can trade back and forth. We don't necessarily need their money. And if we just stop voting and say, you guys create all the money you want. How many thousand families, this is what I have to ask, how many thousand families saying enough is enough, my children's lives and the truth is more important, would it take to go out and just start occupying the ground and growing gardens and being good stewards and not letting it erode and taking whatever we do, rocks or dead trees or whatever, to build a place that's warm where we can read and tell jokes and be happy with our family in the evenings while we talk about how we're going to live the next day. Why do we even need these politicians?
On a certain level, Joe, I agree, but that's kind of going back to where Thomas Jefferson was, that we need to be an agrarian society, that we need to be all farmers. But we're not all farmers. We're electronics technicians, and we're nurses, and we're engineers, and we're computer programmers, and we don't have all have that ability. We've got to have the high-tech version of our world. So in one sense, you know, you've got this great, you know, kind of utopian version of the world, but it's much more complicated than that. We live in cities with millions of people. There is land for everyone in the cities. Yes, if we all left the cities and went out to the country and took it over, maybe. But you know, and I know, that society in our country and in most countries is assigned to live along the lines of where the power lines are. And where the power lines are, you're on your own. And by the way, those magnets that you're talking about, they come from China. So you have to learn that. China.
And I understand your job as a news broadcaster is necessary. And we are a diverse society with many skills. And my people were Mormon, so I know about this. I don't go to that church now, but they had something called the United Order. I hear about communism, socialism, capitalism. I'm so tired of isms I could puke, or parties, you know. But the thing that they did was something called the United Order, where everyone produced for themselves their wants and needs, and everything else went into their bishop's storehouse or into society. And when you can see that there's not enough generators so that everybody can have one, then you try to, everybody say, we've got to produce more generators. Somehow we've got to give these guys who produce more generators more stuff so that they can produce more generators. There is where community works. And I understand that getting off on from the start, this is where it's rough. This is where it was rough after being in bondage, which we're literally in bondage. Our birth certificates are bond that's sold over and over again. But these Israelites that were in bondage for 400 years pissed and moaned and growled and groaned because it was very hard. They had to leave their huts and they had to go out in the wilderness and they had to learn how to live all over again. It took how many years? 40 years or something like that. A whole generation had to die off before it finally came to their heads. We can live without the Egyptians. We can live without the politicians. We can live without their money. And so I just suggest that type of thinking, and I'm not the only brain here. My brain is deficient compared to most, with this group of human beings, wonderful ancient beings who are literally descendants of, I'm going to say my Father in Heaven, you call it whatever you want, our Creator. We have the way to do this. And this is the basic question it comes down to. Is it better to let your children eat poison, both mind and body, Disney and food, or is it better to change? And I suggest that if we don't change, the alternative that's coming at us is worse. Which brings me to the next point. You had brought up birds a little while ago. I had heard and from several sources and read that these birds that fell in Arkansas had internal bleeding. And I heard this from other things, too. And I'm not certain about all the birds, the ones in Italy or whatever. I've seen burnt dolphins and millions of washed-up clams in Pakistan and in that area of the world, and beached whales and stuff. And here in Idaho, we talked about down by Glens Ferry last time, but here in Idaho, just east, southeast again of Glens Ferry, south of Burley near Oakley, in a very small area around a creek, thousands of mallards died. And they keep acting like, oh, this is H5N1. and they say that we're going to do some testing, but we never get the results of the test.
That's right. We never hear what the testing results are.
And this is such a small area. And being someone from Idaho and watching how ducks, and they migrate from the river up to the creeks and back and into the grain fields, and how can this happen in such a small area? I've got to think there's some kind of eco-contaminant, whether it's stellar weaponry or electromagnetic waves or poisoning. I'm not certain, but they're not releasing the
that's what we measured in Tennessee, is we found the HARP signature via various ham operators that picked up the HARP signature, and we found all these dead birds. Now, the internal bleeding, I got to tell you, I saw a lot of the samples. I saw a lot of the photos of the birds that died in Arkansas. Internal bleeding happens to occur when you smash into the ground at 70 miles an hour from about 400 feet, which is what these
and
birds
at night,
did.
And what makes them fly at night? You know, they fell at night.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
Birds roost at night.
Joe, I really appreciate the call. I've got a couple other calls I want to get to before the end of the hour. All right.
Thank you
very, very much for the phone call. Let's bring the next caller on. I think we have Haia from Vancouver on line two. Are you still there?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Let's go ahead and get your call handled before we bring Damon Saeed Fairmont on. How are you?
Okay, Brooks. I hope you see this July at the ranch. Anyways, I do agree with the last caller. I think he's absolutely pretty much right in what he's saying. But how I would do it, I'd start rounding up all the crooks, literally, and get every state, every county with a sheriff. They have more power than anything else. And start getting them active in every community. And don't let these guys get away with it. Bush is walking around. Bush is senior walking around. Clinton's walking around. They're all crooks. They sold your country out from underneath you. And they will continue doing it unless you put a stop to it. Round them up. Start prosecuting them against crimes against humanity. And start putting them in jail. Then people will actually see something's being done. We watch from next door. We watch what's going on, and we all shake our heads wondering what's wrong with the people. Why aren't they doing something about this, the crooked government? Hey, and there's the food. There's plenty of food in the country. The food the farmers are forced to put their quotas out, and then they're forced to bury it. Why don't they take that food and give it to people that need it? I mean, there's so much that could be done. Nothing is being done because of the crooks. You have to get rid of them. They have to go to prison, every single one of them.
Well, let me address the first part first. First of all, in this country, at least since we were founded in 1776, we have never put a president in prison. We've impeached them before, or we've threatened to impeach them before. But you got to understand, presidents are not the government. The government is a loose coalition of bureaucracies. They shuffle money around by the trillions. They feed one corporation, which turns around and donates money to a certain candidate's or a group of candidates' campaigns. And that's how the taxpayer money is laundered through organizations, whether it's the Department of Transportation, which is notoriously corrupt, with literally trillions of dollars worth of, quote, road projects, which go back to local politicians all around the country, to the Department of Energy, which launders, oh my gosh, tens of trillions of dollars through all kinds of organizations, whether it's the National Renewable Energy Lab or various federal labs all around the country, and feeds it back through to private corporations who then turn right around and make major campaign contributions. Case in point, $3.3 trillion and 0.0% interest fed out of taxpayer money, fed out to global corporations like General Electric. And this week, President Obama announces the CEO of, you guessed it, General Electric, right back in charge.
Yeah, but Mr. Obama is a puppet president. He sold his own country out long before he got into power.
True.
I mean, he and Bush Sr., the whole lot of them, they're bought and paid for by higher-ups. Now follow the money. Follow who these guys are. Start getting... Or, if you can't do that, just don't buy... Don't go to Walmart. Don't go to the big corporations. Stop buying from them. Literally. Do what France did. Go on strike. Or do what Tunisia did. Tunisia basically went to get their president. He fled the country. They kept his family and said, we want you back here. The whole military stood down and allowed the people to take over. Because if it doesn't happen, there will never be a United States ever again if people don't do anything.
I understand that. But, you know, we have the oldest constitution in the history of the world. And we cannot let our constitution fall to absolute anarchy. There is an organized way to make this happen. And it doesn't happen by seizing the puppet. We have to go after the puppeteers, and they're not in this country.
Well, then maybe people need to start getting special groups going, looking for these people and bringing them back, and they have to face the people. I mean, really, if nobody does anything about it, you know what's going to happen? It's going to be the same thing as Nazi Germany. The Germans lost the war, but the Nazis won. They just shifted countries. Yours and Russia.
Yeah.
You know,
I got you.
And they took in 253 of the worst Nazis employed in the country. How do I realize that? Because being from a Jewish family, we learned very quickly who they were. And you know, if you keep on employing the bad guys, and taking, you know, being paid off to turn a blind eye, which has been happening right now. I mean, look at what's happening to the country. Look at the people. Everything is just falling apart everywhere. The whole infrastructure, people's rights aren't being taken care of. There's got to be to the point where people have to say, no more. We're not going to do it. We're not going to pay ball. We're not going to pay your money. I mean, get rid of the money completely. Go buy a barter system.
That would be a little difficult to do in a global economy, but I like your idea about seizing control and saying we're going to make a change. And that would be wonderful if we could do that. If we could look at the presidential election and say, we're not going to take the old guard, hand-me-down, recycled politician that's going to stand up there and say, rah-rah, and we're going to get the same old policies as before. You're right.
Why not Ron Paul or Rand Paul? From what I've heard from those, they want to audit the Fed. Maybe they should be audited, and that will be one way to try to take them down.
Well, that's true. I mean, maybe if the people would see what the outrageous expenditures of the Fed were and where they were laundering this money, maybe it would turn on the American people and they would get energized and do what needs to be done. I like Ron Paul. I think he's a great guy. I like his son, Rand Paul, who recently won in the state of Kentucky, or the Commonwealth of Kentucky. And truth be known, I like Sarah Palin because she's a fresh thinker, and she has told the oil companies. She's told the oil companies where they can stick it, and then she's gone to court with them, and she's won. And I like her for that.
Oh, she's told them that. Then, you know, maybe you know, you have all these wonderful technologies. They're not being used except for the elite or the extremely black projects. I say you need to do some house cleaning on a major scale, starting every single state. I mean, from what I've heard, Brooks, your sheriffs in every county and every state have got more power than the president of the United States. Is that true?
Well, it is true. The president of the United States has very little power. He's put up as a powerful figure. He has the bully pulpit. But actually, he has very little power over the economic progress of the United States. That's a much more local thing. It's a much more state thing. And truth be known, Congress has more power over the economy than the president could ever hope to have.
Oh, my God, and they're the ones that sign without reading. I mean, if I signed a contract without reading it and I complained about it, the judge would turn around and tell me, well, that's your tough luck.
Yeah, buyer beware.
But these guys have signed things that they haven't bothered reading, and it affects every person in your country. That's crazy.
Yeah, it is. You know, the news makes no bones about it. They play it. They say, hey, you know, these guys just signed a 2,000-page contract that they never read. So we know about it. We, the people, we know about it. And we're not holding them accountable. Hi,
well,
I need to get on.
What?
I need to get on to the next hour, Haya. I really appreciate your energy. I appreciate you calling in. Please call another time. I've got to take a quick break, and I will be back right after this with more X Squared Radio. Thank you so much for the call. We're going to bring David Saeed Fairmont on right now, and we'll get more expert ideas and things about the New Hope for Humanity right after this.
The foundations of religion and science were utilized to write our first two volumes of The Ark of Millions of Years. The third volume, called Unlocking the Secret, is about to hit the presses. We want you to be aware of what is coming. You and I know that your potential is absolutely unlimited. We have crafted the final work of the trilogy, so you have the tools necessary to work the law of attraction. Find out what the ancient masters knew. Learn the methods necessary to affect the universe on purpose for the good of your life. Go to the online store at X Squared Radio and get your copy on order today. If you have survived the disaster without food and clean water, then you need to visit NitroPack. They have been providing emergency preparedness supplies for more than 19 years. They have everything from 72-hour kits to a full year's supply for an entire family. We wanted you to have access to the best. That is why we searched for many months to find NitroPack. Click the NitroPack banner at X Squared Radio and get prepared.
Have you ever thought about owning a telescope? I mean a really good telescope. Well, at the Discovery Store, you can find the world's best telescopes at great discounts and free shipping. They have come a long way, you know. Most of the comets discovered in the last 50 years were found by amateurs. There is no better way to view the sun than with a coronoscope. Trust me, you will be captivated if you ever get to watch the sun through one of these units. Who knows? You might just save the planet. So plan a trip to the Discovery Store at X Squared Radio.
This is Brooks Agnew with X Squared Radio with a message for our friends in the radio broadcast world. If you have noticed that your listeners aren't around anymore, it's because they are right here with us. If you would like them back in your radio fold, then all you have to do is add X Squared Radio to your program content. The statistics don't lie. We are now the fastest growing talk radio program in North America. Don't be late, because we are about to launch another hour of X Squared Radio.
Thank you. life. The spice expands consciousness. The spice is vital to space travel.
And welcome back to X Squared Radio. We're coming to you live from southern Mississippi. Our AccuWindow forecast about 48 degrees and clear outside. Those of you that are preparing for this winter, or even for the spring, for various things that may be happening out there, I suggest that you put together a survival pack. How do you do that? Well, that's easy. You just go to 1-800-PREPARE.com. 1-800-PREPARE.com. They've got everything you need. 72-hour packs, water filters. They have food supplies that will last for up to 25 years without any kind of maintenance whatsoever. Put it in a backpack. Put it in your hall closet in the front of your house or your apartment or your trailer. Or put it in the trunk of your car. Anytime you have an accident, a flat, you're caught without gasoline, you're stuck in traffic and can't get out, you have got the supplies you need to survive. Contact my friend Paul Faust at 1-800-PREPARE.com. And by the way, as you check out, put in my name, Brooks, B-R-O-O-K-S, and you'll get an extra 10% off. Now, I have vetted, I've called, I've tested, I have verified dozens of different emergency preparedness companies. This is the best by far. They get the best prices, the best shipping, the best packages. Trust me, they've got everything you need from survival radios to information to documents that might help you know what to do, who to call, how to get by. Everything you need at 1-800-PREPARE.com. Also, those of you that are looking for a way to access the law of attraction, for manifesting wealth in your life, for turning around a pattern of failure, whether it's in love, whether it's in finances or business, I recommend a book. Yes, I wrote it. It's called Remembering the Future, The Physics the Soul, and Time Travel. Those of you who bought the book, The Secret, or watched the video, or listened to anybody talk about the book, The Secret, you will realize you could go out and you could buy scissors and you could buy magazines, you can cut out pictures and put them all over your refrigerator and turn it into a literal intention machine. And you'll realize nothing will happen. That's because the tools are missing. The idea is great. The idea is wonderful. But you need the toolbox. You can get it by reading or listening to Remembering the Future, The Physics of the Soul and Time Travel. Now, you can get it by going to Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, or any place where fine books are sold. Or you can get it by going to rememberingthefuturebook.com, rememberingthefuturebook.com. And purchasing the book there. And if you do, you'll get the entire audio version for free. So if you're not a great reader, don't worry about it. I read it for you. And you can pick it up at rememberingthefuturebook.com. My guest this hour, and maybe the next hour if we get on a really good roll, is Saeed David Varman. He is the leader, the pontificator, the spiritual center of a website called alienshift.com. Now, what does that mean? To me, because I've known David for some time, he's a driving force behind a new awareness, a new hope for humanity. He points us in a direction of recognition of what the human soul is capable of doing. No limits. No limits whatsoever. You can achieve anything you want to achieve. And Also, don't forget, there's a deep connectivity between ourselves and a galactic community. My friend, Saeed David Farman, welcome to the program. How are you?
Good evening, Dr. Brooks Agnew. It's an honor and pleasure to be on your shows. My name is Saeed David Farman in Los Angeles, City of Angels. I'm the New Hope for Humanity founder group in Worldwide Global Group, which our website is alienshift.com. Alienshift Group, A-L-I-E-N-S-H-I-F-T, alienshift.com. And it's an honor to be with you.
Well, it's my pleasure. You know, we as human beings in our day-to-day lives, as we go either from paycheck to paycheck or job to job or even from affair to affair, however we live our lives, we're faced with the limitations of our own weakness, our own lack of faith in ourselves, our own, let's call it a forgetfulness in who we really are, where we really came from. And I would like you to help us talk about and think about what the potential, what the real makeup of the human being is. Can you, let's talk about that for a little while.
The spirit is experiencing a series of events and experiencing love and experiencing light. Before we go any further, I would like to ask the audience to bring pen and paper. We will go through a lot of stuff with Dr. Agnew. I have a lot of information to pass from him, actually. He is the source in science. I always have him in my shows and events and interviews. We have over 160 interviews in our Alien Shift channel and live stream. Because of radio, we cannot connect tonight, but our live stream channel is livestream.com/alienshift, which later on you can view those video logs, 160 interviews. And we have so many with Dr. Brooks Agnew. And answering your questions, Dr. Agnew, basically human spirit is, imagine you have a glove in your hand and you take off the glove. That glove is your body and you throw it down on the floor. Your hand is still there, but the glove is buried in the ground. So the soul and the spirit goes through a lot of lives and we're changing gloves. And we've been around over thousands and tens of thousands of lives. Doesn't matter what they were a bunch of experiences. Even doesn't matter what this is another experience. We're coming to you from the time of Atlantis, Egypt, and beyond. We're all here to assist humanity to shift this shift in time. And as you go through the event of 2012 to 2015, the three-year event that will change humanity to a new dimensional shift, this shift which will gather ETs around to assist us to go through this shift. We call it an alien shift as just a common word to understand what this shift means, because without their assistance, humans would be locked in a fear mode as they are right now about 2012 and changes. There's no fear. We will go through these changes and the Earth will. And as you see, the changes are starting. The Earth changes are starting. We just noticed we were given news about 20-foot elevation drop in Java, confirmed by Google satellite, which we put the picture on alienshift.com, shift.com, alienshift.com. And if you see that picture in there, later on you can go right now. There is Indonesia and a lot of places in the Earth. We have ups and downs in the oceans and beaches, and there are 20 feet here, 100 feet there. We got new islands are coming up in same areas, and I see a lot of changes coming our way, and this is the proof of Google Earth that we so far we can keep the picture on I don't know for how long or what. So we've been called in for a few things, like HARP or other stuff. So we're staying away from HARP project because it's a sensitive national security for America. And believe it or not, these bird stuff or animals are dying. It's nothing to do with HARP. So whatever they're doing with HARP is for their own good, or they see or they look at it for the good of America. So as an Americans, we although there's a lot of international listeners, we've been telling our members in all over the world to listen. We have listeners in Africa, a lot of them in Europe, Middle East. We say greetings to them, all the alien shifters, the ground crew, the Tiger Cosmosans, all the exopoliticians and Project Camelots. We greet you all out there, and alien shifters, we are with you at this time. We open the gate 11-11. This is an initiation to unite all light workers as I am with you here. I'm the new hope for humanity in our sense of light workers that we are uniting together. At this time, this connection is united. Anybody listens later on to this program would be uniting with us. So all souls are connected. We are opening the gate. As we open this gate, the light will come through the gate, through us, through our spirits. And this light will initialize a new beginning for humanity, which we start from now. How we can create this new humanity is by uniting our souls, that we understand what we're going to have in the future that is different than now, what kind of humanity we would like to start in near future. Because as we see the changes are starting, and as the earth changes, we will change too. So we cannot live with the same old politics, religions, ideas, beliefs, whatever it was so far was the first step for the baby to talk. Now they've given you the religion, they've given you the spirituality. Now grow up and understand who you are. Your hands is the spirit you have.
Now, David, let me ask you a question here, because we're talking about, on the one hand, we're talking about we live thousands, perhaps millions of lives, and, you know, this life is just the precursor to another life. But on the other hand, many of us, and I think many of your listeners and my listeners as well, we feel a certain level of intensity. We feel a sense of urgency. We feel a sense of involvement in the fact that our awareness and our ability to get our awareness out there and to increase the awareness of our lives is exponentially increasing in this lifetime, more so than any other lifetime before, especially in the history of the world. So many of us do not feel like it would be a time to let this life slip by. We want to do something in this life now. We want to get involved right now and make a change, not for the future, but for today. We want to take action today, before the 2012 elections, before the mighty cataclysmic changes the earth is going to go through in 2012. What can we do now to make ourselves aware and make ourselves effective in this human society?
Well, we said many times in the talks we had in on blogs and Facebook and Yahoo chat and interviews, you can listen to those in different videos we have, that we have to unite the same-minded people. There are them versus us, the light workers we are, and the versus Arkans and the ones who are dark forces. So we're the dark ones, they're doing what they're doing, and they've been always doing that. So now the change comes, they're having problem. Now they might not be able to carry on anymore. Why? Because the changes in timeline, the future of the earth, and the humanity would not allow them to do mischief and darkness. So the light will overcome the shadow and darkness. So therefore, we have a good opportunity to shift to a new humanity. How we can change that, you ask me. We regroup in groups of 500, 1,000, hundreds, and tens of thousands or over the planet in a very tight communities, even living together in a communities that we are same-minded people. Therefore, once the next 5-10 years, we will go through a lot of changes, and America will go through a lot of changes. The world will go a lot of changes. The history of man will change because of ET contact. And once that contact changes our old perspective, so humanity would suddenly wake up to a universe of millions of planets and opportunities and contacts and terraforming other planets. We don't need to be here at all. This planet is just a stop point to say hello and get together all the nations, 200 nations, 135 languages, whatever. We met, we understand each other, we fight with each other. There's a lot of wars. And so from here on, this is the end point. We're going to terraform other planets. That's why we need to be in peace. That's why we cannot let the nuclear devices be taken to Mars base. We have a Mars base for over 60 years with Russians and whoever else we're doing with the scientists are there. Over 60 or 600,000 people there. They're taking people as we speak. They're terraforming other planets. Ben Rich from Lockheed Skunk Program, after he's retired, he's been whistleblowing that U.S. has the capability going to other planets right now. They're doing it. Those are in black projects. They're not pulling it out to give it to public or show people where they can go, what they can do. The NASA hacker, they hacked the NASA files. They found the names of interstellar pilots. They go to other planets. So we have the proofs by every evidence that they're hiding from us. So therefore, those
David, we have a couple of things, you know, on two extremes. On the one extreme, we have proof that the governments of the world, or at least the leadership of the governments of the world, has gotten together, and they are writing checks they cannot cash. I mean, really, David, they're writing bad checks as fast as they can. And there's only two reasons why people would do that. One is they have no intention of ever making the checks good. And the other one is they really expect a windfall in profits. And I really don't think the last one is going to happen. And what they're using these checks for is they are writing, they are building hundreds of underground complexes, not bases, but complexes, complete with shipping and receiving and air conditioning and food supply and power and lights. These are cities thousands of feet underground, and they're building them all over the world. The second is that they may be doing this interplanetary travel. Now, they can't have them both. They can't be colonizing other planets on the one hand, and on the other hand, burying themselves deep in the earth, leaving us, the middle class and the lower class, out here on the surface of the planet to take whatever conflagration the sun or some temperamental wave of the galaxy is going to deliver to the surface of the earth. They can't have it both ways. So my question is, what can we do as the human race right now to take control of what this shadow government is doing with our money and make it happen for us?
Dr. Agnew, this event is so big and worldwide global that they're going to be peons in there. Whatever they do, this thing is so much universal, and it's the our solar system and the Milky Galaxy, and involves other planets and other beings. And you name 100,000 shadow, whatever they have with their military, let's say 1 million, 2 million, or 3 million, versus one out of three will survive, according to a lot of prophecies. So 1 out of 3 7 billion people, you're talking 2-3 billion people, we will survive this event if anything happened in a negative part. If possible,
I know we're going to survive. That's not the issue. I mean, we're going to survive. That's we're a very resilient, you know, animal on the face of the earth.
It's a pole shift. It's a lot of different events. Solar event. There's a lot of events. It might be catastrophic. It might be smooth and nothing happened, depending on how whatever happens. These guys are going underground. So what? So they have military. So what? They spend and they take our money. So what? There won't be any money issues anymore at some point in the future. Nobody can give you food for gold. They're not going to take your gold because they can't eat your gold. They will barter food. I will give you wheat. You will give me tomatoes. And I will give you medicine if I have, and you will give me shoes. So gold and silver and coins and these things would be historical things. You know, like you look at the pennies or dollar bills or, yeah, that will keep it for historical artifacts.
I like the idea. I mean, I like the idea of bartering, but honestly, I don't think it's going to work as a global system of trade. We need a way to exchange the labor that, say, I do down here in southern Mississippi for a common contract that I can trade, say, over the internet for some product that somebody in California makes or somebody in Oklahoma makes or somebody in the UK makes.
Well,
some kind of common currency, some way to trade the energy that I expend for the energy that they need to make their ends meet.
As long as they print dollars, fake money right now, because the value and stuff, you can't say fake either. I'm sorry, I'm talking like that. As long as they keep printing this dollar, economy of the world, the day the printing stops, it's like a domino effect. All these countries will fall, even China. Once that fall occurs, plus the earth changes, which I think would be the same timing, around 2015 or something, whatever date it is, would be 2019 or never, whatever. If that happens at that moment, once that money issue goes away, so immediately humans will start thinking what to do next. So what you're asking me right now is not in my mind. It's in the minds of humans at that moment. It's like, how are we going to trade with ETs? They have some minerals that we would need from their planet to build new ships, for instance, new spaceships or UFOs, IFOs. So
That's a good point. I haven't thought about that. I mean, what good are dollars to ET? What good are yuan or gold, for that matter, to ETs? You're right. We do need some kind of universal currency. And maybe, and you might be able to help us with this, maybe earthlings, those of us that dwell here on Earth, live here on Earth, work here on Earth, can figure out what kind of currency, what kind of trade mechanism we could develop universal.
We don't need any currency. Al Bielik seen the future in a Montauk project. He was dropped in 200 years forward. What he explained America was some kind of socialist, not socialism, but everything free for everybody. Everything is free. Free energy, free everything, and we move around with levitation and stuff off the ground or a spaceship. We don't need cars anymore. There's no more oil need of oil. So the future, we don't need currency stuff. We don't need, because once you put a system in place that provides free energy for everybody, like Tesla was going to do, right? They said, no, this thing is... we cannot build people with this thing. It will give electricity to the whole world suddenly. You know, we need to build people. We need to make money. So Edison is better than Tesla. So this stuff, what happened was the way humans think, you know, the way we are right now is because of some human few hundred past before us. They thought how we should live. That's why me and you, we live like this. So let's say Leonardo da Vinci, he imagined that he created in his mind some ideas about how we should go underneath the ocean. So we have submarines. So me and you right now, we imagine and create and rethink the future. So this whole thing is all based on what we want to do, our kids want to do, or our fans and followers will do. I told the alien shifters, you know, create groups of 100 around the world, whatever country you are, pick up a leader, group leader, team leader, and listen to your leaders, the best ones between you, and let the leader lead you. So you could be a group leader in North Carolina. You could have 100,000 people, or million, 10 million people you're leading. So you can decide what to do with that community.
Well, I get that thought. I realize that there are leaders, there are managers, there are sub-managers among us in our society. And we are frustrated because we have great ideas. We have things that would get us, for instance, off fossil fuels, or would streamline things, or allow better teachers to teach our children, et cetera, et cetera. We have these ideas, but we don't have the economic means to bring them to pass. And maybe I kind of like your idea that we do what we love doing, and by doing that, we are part of society, and we get everything else that we need, not necessarily want, because wants are more tied to gluttony and wealth than they are to actually surviving and getting by day to day. I guess, you know, that's not really a flaw in capitalism. It's, like I said, we talked about how much can a person consume in a single year, and it was $770,000 a year, and yet we have many, many thousands of individuals in our country that make $5, $50, even $100 million a year. That's just more than any human being can consume. So how much is enough? And if we have a society that thrives on the contribution of what skilled people do and do best and get satisfaction out of doing that, and thus they have a place to live, they have something to drive, they have where, they have plenty to eat, well, what more do you want than that? The problem, Saeed, is the portion of society that doesn't want to do anything. How do they contribute to society?
Well, this is going back to your representatives, your senators, your lawmakers. These are people you folks out there you have elected. This is your president. This is your government. I'm not talking about U.S. I'm talking worldwide. So in every country. So this is what you guys vote to. We didn't vote for them. You guys elected them. Now go back to them. If the senator doesn't want to represent what you're saying in the Senate, don't vote for him anymore. Change that senator. Change that government. You are free society. There is no need to fight or get into revolution. It could be very cooperative between members of the society. This thing be discussed and changed. You know, we are a democratic society. We can talk about it. If they don't want to listen to you, if they fight you, then you fight them. You know, this is America. We had revolution before.
Yeah, but we don't want to go through that. We have the oldest, most stable constitution in the history of the world. And we like our constitution. We like our Bill of Rights. We like these inalienable rights. It's not our representatives that we're sending to Washington. We already know they're freeloaders. But there's only 435 of those. We're talking about the freeloaders in our neighborhoods that live in the cities where we live, that don't want to do anything, but they feel like government owes them a living. How do we incorporate that portion of our society in this vision that you have?
Dr. Brooks Agnew, you get into politics, and our purpose of attending your show is bringing peace and hope to humanity as we go through changes very soon, earth changes and pole shift, time travel, Mars base, space travel, going with ET and aliens and UFOs and all the disclosure and free energy that will come to humanity, as it already is in the hand of humanity given by ETs, but they're in black projects and hidden in the vaults. So, again, if those vaults do not, if black projects do not offer the free energy to humans, the ETs are forced to intervene. They're forced to stop wars and land, as they are contacting us right now, and the U.S. forces and other countries are attacking them. They're laser attacking them with their President Reagan Star Wars initiative equipment they have. Looks like Assange was going to bring up the files that there are wars that in North Pole with the ETs who live in the Hollow Earth, and they are coming out to contact humans, and they are attacking them. And once they wanted to release those files in ufology, they put the guy in house arrest and they shut him down. So there's a lot of news out there that might not be good for your listeners to get into, because they're a little bit higher grade conspiracy stuff, but we don't want to get into that.
Yeah, we don't do a lot of conspiracy here. We've already nominated Julian Assange for the Nobel Peace Prize. Listen, we have Joe from Idaho on the program. He's been listening to us. Let's let him ask his question. Good. Joe, are you there?
Yes, Brooks, and I couldn't quite understand your guest name. I apologize. My hearing's kind of bad.
It's Saeed, or just call him David.
Saeed, I just agree with you totally. And Brooks, I got to say, you say there's not enough money for education. Why not parents educate their children? What's wrong with that? And why do we even need this currency? You're saying we have to have currency so we can have this global. Why do we need global trade? We can have local production inside of local communities. We can, if the ETs come down and want to deal with us, we can start trading with them. But the idea is idle hands make a hungry table. Those people who don't want to, and I kind of hate to rain on somebody's parade, but it's nice to have the job you'd have and do it. I say go for it. But in the meantime, I like doing things. I like doing my music. I like writing. I like doing a lot of things. But in the meantime, I have to get my hands in the dirt, because food comes out of the dirt. And maybe everybody doesn't know how, but those are things we need to teach. Those are basic essentials of life. And at a community level, we can do this and start working out things. But this transporting of goods, let us from one end of the country to the other, it doesn't have to happen, nor is it healthy for us, I think.
Well, Joe, I understand your point. It's very Jeffersonian, and I do envision it. I really do, that we could get more local and more agrarian. But, you know, the truth is that we trade stuff from Tibet to Japan to Pakistan to Brazil to California. Right. You know, we are earthlings. We're not a group of nations. We're not a group of neighborhoods. We are one planet and one people, and we should learn,
Thank you.
To learn to live as one people and trade among ourselves as a people, not as, you know, rural communities.
I'm not saying go back to caveman days. But I am saying that, and Saeed, you talked about no money. Money would be something that everybody says, I want off the electric grid. I want off the money grid. I want off the money grid. Money is room for corruption. money is something that we do not need. There are other methods of doing this. And to teach people more basics and get weaned off of this stuff that has corrupted us so bad and is poisoning us is something essential. And so I asked Saeed his input more about how it is that we wean ourselves off of money here. I'll hang up. So I appreciate your time.
Thanks for the call, Joe. Go ahead, Saeed.
Thank you, Joe. Thank you for asking questions, and we greet you from, answering Joe. This is Saeed David Foreman, AlienShift, AlienShift.com, our website. It's a 10-year-old website with 200 pages. Our group, AlienShift, New Hope for Humanity, on Facebook, Yahoo Chat, and Los Angeles, we have events, AlienEvents.com. You can see those, and live stream channel, livestream.com/alienship. So I come back to you in peace and prosperity and light. So answering Joe, basically, as Dr. Brooks Agnew mentioned, we are becoming a very small planet that we bump to each other with 7 billion people. In 2 hours, you can be in London. Or in 3 hours, you can be in Moscow. So this is a different world than used to be 20 years ago. As myself, I'm from Middle East. Over 30 years, I lived here, become Americanized, Persian-American, and I have a Islamic background, Sufi background, Christian, studied Christianity, and I can talk about all these spiritual facts that affect in our lives also, and plus what the humanity is going through at the moment regarding these things. So going back to the money, we don't need money at all. We have every facility. We have every crop, feed the world. There's no shortages. There's no shortage of anything. The only shortage is humans don't want to help humans. That's the only thing. We don't.
Yeah.
We have everything. We have food for 20 billion more people. This depopulation plan, it's anti-human. Whoever said we should go back to 500 million people is a ruthless anti-human person. All those monuments should be scratched off. Humanity can have 100 billion more people in this planet and live very happily in the deserts of Nevada and Utah, and you name it, in America, we can fit 100 billion more people, live very comfortably with free energy, with food, water, if we put our brains together and help each other and get our hands wet. Not that make everybody unemployed and get the money economy business around the world and dollars and euros and all these fights and wars and this stuff. There's no future for humanity.
Well, we've often talked about the idea, well, not the idea, the reality, that there are whole organizations out there that do nothing but trade in currency. They don't actually do anything. They don't actually invest in anything. All they do is buy marks and sell dollars. They buy yuan and they sell rubies or rubles. And they go around and around and around the table people at a Texas Hold'em match, and they just trade currency. And they're making, not billions, people, trillions of dollars at our expense. And they're manipulating the value of our currency back and forth, up and down, until our dollar, our pound, our British sterling isn't worth anything. And that's really what we need to get away from. This whole idea of stock, of gambling and trading billions and billions of dollars back and forth on the labors and the ideas and the hype and the value of creation of us has got to stop. That's really what's destroying the economy of the world.
Dr. Agnew, we are in full shift, has already started, and it's a very mild one, as we pray a state out this way. This pole shift is changing human DNA and human timeline and the earthly timeline as we see the birds and animals fall in. The craziest thing I heard was yesterday was on 1,000 cows died in Vietnam.
Yeah, I heard that.
Yeah, that was most frightening thing for me because if you say birds can fall from, you name it, from the spray in the air, what you call it, the or harp or contrails, chemtrails or harp or earthquakes or pole shift, then I say how the cows can fall in. Fall, 1,000 cows suddenly fall. This is, I was going to ask you a question about that. What, how would you, if you say methane gas is releasing from oceans and killing all these birds and stuff, so how would the cows fall in Vietnam like that?
Well, that's a really good question because, you know, cows are not a school animal. They're not a flock animal. They have a much larger brain than a bird or a fish or a crab. I haven't really researched into it, but I just read today that there were thousands of cows that were just, you know, chewing their cud, minding their own business, and just keeled over dead. So you have to ask yourself, you know, how does an animal with such a slow metabolism, obviously they don't fly, what is it that just makes a cow drop over dead? I it's beyond me. I don't know. We've got some very strange zoology going on here.
I'm coming with a new hypothesis that these things are due to the new Earth or parallel Earth. As these some of these animals are leaving the earth and ascending or changing timelines to the new earth in death, meaning they appear in another timeline or dimension in another planet, which they call it new earth, like Mayans did. Suddenly they disappeared, or the other people who in Egypt, they disappeared through pole shift or wherever, Atlantis. So the side effect of pole shift, I see, then why not all the animals die? Why some animals, like 1,000, 10,000, or 100,000 fish die here, die there, but not the whole world? So my question is, do you think that there are communities of beings like these animals, they like on a common denominator agreement, they leave the planet, like in a changing timeline or dying off like that? Would that, if the Earth changes, if the Earth changes, gets worse, would that happen to humans or?
Yeah, I was just going to ask the same question. When are we going to fess up? When half of Oklahoma just keels over dead for no reason at all? Yeah, you're exactly right, David. Well, I mean,
would we disappear? Like Bible says, one sleeping one will be taken out of the bed. Would we disappear in another timeline, some of us? Or how would this thing react to humans in the long term? Or at what cycle the human brain or human heart will change rhythm or DNA? These are questions that physicists or scientists should answer us, or probably
maybe anthropologists. I mean, you know, what we have seen in sociology and anthropology, we have seen contagion. We have seen epidemics, we've seen pandemics, we've seen the plague, we've seen the flu, polio, all kinds of things like that. But we haven't yet seen, you know, a mass of society going to sleep and just not waking up. That's what seems to be happening in the animal community. And honestly, between you and me, David, I haven't really heard a satisfactory explanation as to why any of these animals have died.
And I don't see any HARP relationship. I don't see any chemtrail relationship. I would see more a pole shift relationship, or magnetism, mm-hmm. or probably a new timeline of the new Earth. They keep talking that during pole shift you get another timeline planet coming parallel to this planet. I don't know. These are things we have to investigate and study about.
Well, when are we going to see? I mean, obviously, we know the pole is shifting. It's moving at a rate of 25 miles a year, which honestly, I was flabbergasted. I've heard of the pole kind of wobbling back and forth, maybe 6 inches or a yard or something like that a year. 25 miles a year, and it's going in a linear direction. And this is obviously in obedience to Newton's Coriolis force, which is the idea that counter-rotating bodies will have a perpendicular movement of the coordinate system, which, I mean, the sun goes through this every 11 years. It's no surprise to us. We can measure it. We watch it. Now it's occurring with Earth, and these kinds of pole shifts, they're not linear. And when this begins to shift, it is a logarithmic shift. That is to say, 25 miles 1 year, 70 the next, 180 the next, 500 the next. It is logarithmic. It increases at a rate that increases each year. That's the way logarithms work, at powers of 10. And so what you have is a pole shift that could occur once it gets this momentum going, in literally weeks, not hundreds of thousands of years, the way geologists would have us believe, in a matter of weeks. And if this happens, if the North Pole becomes the South, and the South Pole becomes the North, and the Gulf Stream gets affected, and the Jet Stream gets affected, we're going to see some changes on this planet, people. Some big changes. And I would highly recommend moving away from the beach and toward the mountains or toward the high plains or something. Not to alarm you, you've got plenty of time, but I would be making the move as soon as you can. In essence,
Dr. Agnew, people don't have money for their rent, they don't have money for gas, they don't have money for food, not even money for train or moving or what. 20 million people are unemployed. The numbers they're giving you is not the exact numbers. 20 million people are sleeping in their cars, living in their cars. We hear and see. There are news that we hear and see in Los Angeles that is not matching what the guys in nicer environment cities they're listening and hearing.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, in Charlotte, there are 50,000 people out of work. The real numbers, honestly, the real numbers for unemployment are worse than they were during the Depression. Because if you'll remember, I wasn't totally alive at that age, if you'll remember, the Depression only really affected the cities. It did not affect the rural communities that much because they had the ability to work on food and labor and, you know, more basic forms of currency. But in the cities, where people were working for cash or they invested in stocks or they owned banks or whatever, those were greatly affected. But even in the cities, they only experienced about 10 to 12% unemployment. People, we're in our rural communities in Kentucky, in Tennessee, in Oklahoma, in North Carolina, rural communities, 25% unemployment. I hear it's worse than that in Los Angeles, especially when you're talking about the under 25-year-old group. These are people that would normally be able to find a job at a hotel or a restaurant or a hospital as an orderly or something. Guess what? Jobs are now held by the elderly. people that have already retired and they're living on Social Security. They're the ones that are working at McDonald's and Carl's Jr. and Taco Bell, not the young people. Under 25 years old, the unemployment rate exceeds 25%. People, that is a systemic failure economically in our country. Los Angeles is suffering worse than anyone.
Well, they have to get together as the leaders of the world and countries and remove this money business and make everything free for everybody and have a kind of ration that so much oil you can have, so much food you can have, so everybody in the planet live by that. And the downgrade of that is that people who haven't too much, they will suffer. And it's better they suffer than everybody else in the planet suffer. If we keep going like this, there won't be any planet. So you folks out there decide what kind of world you want to have. A world that everybody live in peace and everybody share things and we have a free energy. It's not a communism. It's totally different. It's based on different factors. I'm not a sociologist or a physicist, but the scientists or sociologists, they can help us to build a new society based without money. This is the emergency that the money business is hurting the planet right now and the energy problem. So the free energy must come out. The free medical help must come out. We can have 20 billion more people this killing people and getting rid of populations. You guys don't go for that. This is not a future for humanity. Pleiadians, they never said that. This is all misinformation. These a bunch of ufologists. They entered this misinformation, disinformation to people's brains. We should have less populations. Aliens told us that. This is absolutely not true. Bring me the ET and tell me who told you guys this. If the ETs land in here and say you have population problem, no, this planet has everything. This is God has made this planet for so many people that we are all fine. We have the water, we have the food, but they're destroying, they're cutting the trees, they're destroying the water. That's why the ETs are crying for us. Don't destroy the planet, don't destroy the ecology. Don't dig in for so much oil. In one country, Saudi Arabia, 15 million barrels a day. Come on, guys. You guys hurting the earth by doing that. This is by American administration policy. I mean, these are all affecting the planet. Russians are not doing that. Russians digging their own oil. But you go to one country and one area, you dig in for 20 million barrels a day on that area, little area. You're hurting the earth. It's like BP... digging the problem you had BP in the Gulf of Mexico. This problem can unbalance the earth crust, and you don't do that. There is a limit to how much oil you get out of the ground. There is limit with energy, water, trees. You don't cut so many trees. Nobody is planting trees. Everybody is writing books. I'm not talking about you, Doctor. I know your books are great. Everybody writes novels, cutting trees for paper or paper towels. Humanity got to change their way of living. We gotta know how to live and use different methods of cleaning or energy or different. We gotta think real fast. Otherwise, the whole thing will collapse.
Well, that being said, most of my books sell by Kindle and Nook, so we don't burn any trees with those. But I know what you're saying. I know we're tired of shoveling our planet into our gas tank and burning it. I do know that anthropologically speaking or even biologically or zoologically speaking, if you pour a virtually unlimited amount of energy and food into any biosystem, that biosystem will overpopulate and destroy itself. we do have factions of our planet that would go unlimited, unbridled growth if they were given unlimited food supplies, unlimited water supplies, unlimited amounts of energy. They don't know any better. Now, our country, the United States, has not overpopulated itself. We could have. We certainly had the wealth to do it. We certainly had the land, the resources to do it. But we have not done it. Other countries have overpopulated themselves well beyond, many times beyond, their own country's ability to deliver energy, food, and clean water. India is a good example. China is a good example. These are countries that now want everything. They want cars. They want satellite TV. They want cell phones. And they want it now. And they're many times larger than the United States and millennia older than the United States. What was once thought to be gluttony by the United States will pale in comparison to what those countries will seek after in the coming decades. We need to learn as human beings that we do not need opulence. I wish they would listen to my friend Amit Goswami, who has just come out with a new book. His philosophy is that we should stop seeking so much after the material wealth of the world and seek after a more spiritual, more fulfilling growth curve of humanity, and not seek such after filling our garage with the toys of the world. I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to, because we're right at the top of the hour, Saeed needs a break, I need a break. We're going to go ahead and take a five-minute break. We will be back with X Squared Radio. Right after, just don't go away. We'll be right back to this. Here we go.
Friends down at NRG Resources have introduced a new engine oil technology. TVT 24/7 is the future of lubrication. This is the industry's first environmentally friendly oil additive that not only increases fuel mileage, it reduces engine, gearbox, and transaxle wear to nothing. The other brands fail anti-friction testing in less than 10 minutes under standard testing conditions. TBT 24/7 went more than 24 hours in the test and still did not fail. Get tomorrow's technology today by visiting the online store at X Squared Radio and pick up TBT 24/7 Engine Oil Energizer.
There is some place you should visit before the end of the week. The Horizon Project is probably the most important examination of future events in the world today. But there is a reason you should visit their website soon. I can't give you all the details here, but I can tell you that the first DVD in the six-part series is now available for pre-purchase at $5 off. This series will no doubt be airing on the History Channel or Discovery Channel, but you need the uncut version with all of the bonus material. Trust me, it may be one of the most important video productions you will ever see. Click on the Horizon Project banner at X Squared Radio today.
If you have survived the disaster without food and clean water, then you need to visit NitroPack. They have been providing emergency preparedness supplies for more than 19 years. They have everything from 72-hour kits to a full year's supply
for an entire family. We wanted you to have access to the best. That is why we searched for many months to find NitroPak. Click the NitroPak banner at X Squared Radio and get prepared. The foundations of religion and science were utilized to write our first two volumes of The Ark of Millions of Years. The third volume, called Unlocking the Secret, is about to hit the presses. We want you to be aware of what is coming. You and I know that your potential is absolutely unlimited. We have crafted the final work of the trilogy, so you have the tools necessary to work the law of attraction. Find out what the ancient masters knew. Learn the methods necessary to affect the universe on purpose for the good of your life. Go to the online store at X Squared Radio and get your copy on order today.
This is Brooks Agnew with X Squared Radio with a message for our friends in the radio broadcast world. If you have noticed that your listeners aren't around anymore, it's because they are right here with us. If you would like them back in your radio fold, then all you have to do is add X Squared Radio to your program content. The statistics don't lie. We are now the fastest growing talk radio program in North America. Don't be late, because we are about to launch another hour of X Squared Radio.
And welcome back to Squared Radio. We're coming to you live from southern Mississippi, our IQ window forecast. About 44 degrees and clear outside. I'm not exactly sure of my sources because I haven't been able to check, but it looks like the Steelers are pounding the stuffing out of the Jets. So if you have any different ideas on that, please let me know. I don't have the TV on right now and can't see what's going on, and it's killing me. By the way, the Bears had a drug offense today. Yes, it's true. A drug offense. The Packers drug them up and down the field quite a few times. Packers are going to the Super Bowl. Those of you that are going to be close to Concord, North Carolina, the first week of February, first weekend of February, 3rd to the 5th, I want you, or you have read the book Remembering the Future, The Physics of the Soul and Time Travel, I think what you should do is go to MaureenSaintGermain.com or just go to xsquaredradio.com and click on the link. And if you're interested in taking the Merkaba meditation training, I highly recommend that you go there and take the training from my teacher, Maureen St. Germain. She's the best. I've taken classes from Drun Valo Melchizedek, who's the originator of the Merkaba meditation. It is a meditation for busy people. 17 breaths and you're in. Let me tell you, it's an amazing meditation. The reason that I recommend it is it will allow you to listen to the energies of the universe, listen to the resonations of your intention out there with the universe. And this is important because as you're trying to manifest wealth in your life, success in your love life, smoothness in your business ventures, you will no doubt be putting your energies out there. You might as well be listening to what your energies are doing to the universe, and you do that by going into this state of meditation. We, that is to say I, have published the 18th breath, which is after the 17 breaths of the Merkaba. You could learn it by buying a copy of Remembering the Future, the physics of the soul and time travel by obviously Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, Campus, eCampus, everywhere where books are sold. Or if you want the audio version and the autographed version, you can go to rememberingthefuturebook.com and purchase it there. The same price. We will ship it to you. I will autograph it. And you will also receive the audio version as a bonus. And the reason this is important is a lot of us are not really great readers. Don't worry about it. I read it for you. So you can have the book on your shelf. And you can have the audio version to listen to while you're driving, while you're listening on your MP3 device, or you can just stream it right off your computer. RememberingTheFutureBook.com. And meditation that goes along with the book in the final chapters is at MaureenSt.Germain.com. I would recommend clicking on the link from our website at xsquaredradio.com or rememberingthefuturebook.com and participating with us in Concord, North Carolina, virtually dead center of 70% of the population of the United States during the weekend of February 3rd through 5th. Go there, sign up. I promise your life will change forever. Also, while you're putting your emergency preparedness plans together, don't leave out our affiliate, which is 1-800-PREPARE.com. 1-800-PREPARE.com. My friend Paul Faust, former firefighter and his EMT buddies there in New York after 9/11, saw a great need in having a very simple, easy, well-priced, excellent shipping packages website for people to go to be able to access really high-quality emergency preparedness stuff. Now, I have bought a kit myself from this site. It comes in a high-quality bag. It comes with materials that will last virtually for decades without any maintenance whatsoever. Throw it in the trunk of your car. Throw it in the hall closet door or your back door or your basement door as you're going out, and you will be ready for virtually any emergency and be able to take care of yourself without being a burden upon emergency crews. By the way, while you're checking out from 1-800-PREPARE.com, put in my name, Brooks, B-R-O-O-K-S, in the coupon code, you'll get an additional 10% off. My guest tonight is Saeed David Farhan. He is the host and creator of AlienShift.com and a spiritual leader in his own right, channeler, and able to bring us lots of information about not only the formation of, but the improvement of the condition of the human race. Saeed, are you still there?
Yes, sir, Dr. Agnew.
All right. Let's get started in our legendary final hour of X-Squared Radio.
By the way, I want to thank you for the article you sent me for Pole Shift, and we created a new page on alienshift.com, S-H-I-F-T, alienshift.com. The second page is Pole Shift News. On the top, you can click on it. Dr. Agnew's article is and on that page and links he sent us to his websites. And we thank you. And your picture is on Alien Shift homepage, by the way, the one in Egypt with the UFO on the top of your head.
Well, I appreciate that very much.
Okay. You wanna tell us what happened in there?
Well, it was an interesting gathering. We had 11 people. They got to go on an 8-day sailing trip down the Nile River, which was, I heard, absolutely phenomenal, just amazing. I had to go to China on business, and when I returned to Cairo, they were returning to Alexandria. We actually ended up in Alexandria, which, by the way, very unfortunate. Yesterday was the subject of a terrorist bombing. So our condolences go out to those victims and our prayers for destruction. for those who perpetrated such a heinous crime. Anyway, Egypt was amazing. We got to spend several hours in the pyramid by ourselves with the lights off, which was really amazing. I turned all my cameras infrared and took hours of film in infrared, and you would not believe the energy that we recorded inside the pyramids for about almost an hour of those 2 hours. It was simply phenomenal.
Did you go to King's Chamber doing that?
Yeah, we spent most of the time in the King's Chamber, and then I was heading out, could detour down into the pit for about 20 minutes. That's a very, very long descent down underneath the Queen's Chamber, way down the temple, in a underneath the pyramid, in an area that they call the pit. Not very comfortable. It's a stooped over walk for about 100 yards at about a 40 degree angle going down beneath the pyramid. And the trip down is not nearly as uncomfortable or as strenuous as the trip out, let me tell you.
Well, they say humanity would have split. The ones who we go to King's Chamber, we ascend, or the ones they will go down the pit, and they choose the other way.
Well, that's interesting. I understand that the pit, ancient, because as you go down there, you'll realize that there's no soot on any of the walls. So the ancients that descended into the pit either had an alternative method of lighting the way, or they did it in the dark, which my hats are off to them. Because if you descend that in the dark, you're a very brave soul indeed.
And we are picking up, they're saying, and they've seen it, there's a big, huge, massive UFO buried under the pyramid. And they build the pyramid on the top of it.
I wouldn't doubt it a bit. It's clear that the ancients had some kind of flying wing or something that they worked with there. It's everywhere that you want to go. Lots of interesting stuff for which there's really no explanation. And I can tell you right now, the Egyptians that live there now, they don't have a clue what was there before. Hey, let's go ahead and take a quick call. Dale from New York, you're on line one. Welcome to the program.
Hello, Brooks, and hello, Saeed.
Hello, Dale.
Just since you were commenting about Egypt, my sister-in-law happens to be on a tour in Egypt right now with William Henry, and it must be just a coincidence you were talking about it.
Well, William Henry's a great friend. I've known him for many years. I've been to Egypt with him. I would say that there aren't six people in the world more knowledgeable of Egypt than William Henry. Great guy. I love him.
My sister-in-law happens to be a very spiritual person, and the things you guys have been discussing tonight, she in her own way is trying to help bring about. I just want to give you a comment on what I think is on the horizon, if you don't mind.
Sure, go ahead.
Well, first off, these things that one of your previous callers, Joe, and that you two have been discussing about the way things are operating now, yes, it's true that basically it's not working very well, and it's very unfair for most people on the planet. But I think we're in a situation where we're going to evolve, and we're going to evolve whether some people want to evolve or not. One of these things that have to happen is these old paradigms have to collapse so that even the most stubborn of us could see that this doesn't work, we have to find a new way. And the two keys to that, in my opinion, and it's only my humble opinion, is number one, we have to awaken spiritually. I do not mean religiously. I mean spiritually, true spiritual awakening.
That's a good distinction.
When that happens, the next thing we have to do is provide free energy to everybody on the planet, because free energy, free, clean, and unlimited energy will kickstart all the other technologies we need. What do you guys think about that?
Awesome. I couldn't agree more.
Well, I just wanted to make that little comment. And I don't think all hope's lost, I'm sitting here up in upstate New York, and I've been studying this stuff for the last 5 years, and cataclysms or not, I'm going to keep my family close and do the best I can to survive. And if the universe decides I'm not going to survive, well, that's just the way it is. But I'm supposed to be an ancient being like you guys, like everybody on the planet. We've been around the universe a couple of times. I'll be back, right?
Yes, sir. Dale, I've experienced death in the water tank, what you call it, the...
sensory deprivation?
Flotation. Flotation tank. And what death is, and burial and stuff, we're not going to die in at all. We'll be more alive than now. And my experience was at the time of my death, I saw family stuff. They talking and they moved away from the grave and they say, well, he was a good man. God bless him. And, they leave the flowers and they go. And I was yelling, hey, guys, I'm alive. I'm sitting here. Where are you guys going? So don't believe one second there is anything on their death meaning ending anything. So that's
well, I don't. I don't believe that. I believe we are ancient beings, and our real life is in the spirit, not necessarily in materialism.
So death is transformation, and it's a going to a next level. So that's about death. You will never die as long as this universe goes. And you might stop coming to the earth and going to different places in a different energies or light beings or whatever, but then that's different subject. Now, going back to oil and you mentioned oil and energy. Unfortunately, the whole society and economy and industries is based on oil. The food we eat, some of it is made of synthetic oil. The clothes we wear, the shoes we wear, the tires we in our cars, everything we touch is something related to oil. That's why they think if they stop this oil business, they have to reinvent the wheel. So that's one of the problems they have right now. They cannot stop the oil right away and give you guys the free energy. That's it will make this planet upside down.
Well, I think that durable goods like the plastic that your iPhone or your laptop's made out of, or the fibers that your clothes are made out of, the soles of your Nike or Reebok shoes are made out of, that's actually a good use of oil. That's a durable good. It's going to last for years and years. But shoveling it into your gas tank and burning it, guys, that's Neanderthal use of oil.
We don't need to do it. I know we have plenty of high-tech technologies that could push oil as a transportation energy to the side. But there are people and forces in control right now that are doing everything they can to hang on to what they got, because they already know that the universe is going to force us to evolve, and they don't want to evolve. And I see it coming down like this. We will be given a choice. We're either going to be service to self or we're going to be service to others. If we choose service to others, then we'll stay in this dimension probably and carry on with all the fear and everything else that's going on. If we decide that I'd rather be service to others, I think we'll be transported or perhaps our dimensional split, and we'll get a chance to create the world we would like to see.
Yeah, I can see that coming. You know, we have to love ourselves, and as we do, we will learn to love our neighbor. And as we love our neighbor, we'll be loving God. That's the way it goes. It doesn't go the other way around. You can't possibly love God if you don't love yourself. It cannot happen. So I totally agree with that spiritual progression. But from earlier about the very poor performance of our governmental leaders, whether they're elected or whether they're not, whether they're bureaucrats or whether they're not. When I have an employee that's performing poorly, and I bring him in and I counsel you're really going to have to do this better. You're going to have to show up and work on time. You're going to have to put in a full 8 hours work for a full 8 hours pay. If they don't listen, eventually, I'm going to have to let them go. I think, and I think millions of Americans think, it's time to let them go.
And I couldn't agree more.
Yeah, Dr.
Thanks for having me on.
Dale, thank you for...
Dale, we appreciate the call. Thanks so much. Good luck in New York.
Okay. Goodbye.
Dr. Agnew, can I say something?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
The whole problem is not necessarily government or politicians. It goes back to our thinkers or our teachers in society, or there are other sectors of the society other than government. Let's say 300 million people in America, you know, so many governmental employees, the rest of the society has to think different. Our teachers, our professors, our scientists, our people who go on TV and talk, or our religious church leaders, or these people influence people, and the way they think and they talk, it shifts population to a different corner and locks them in, locks their minds in some kind of the way we are right now. So if these folks, it's not necessarily government, let's say even government suddenly change the way they're doing business tomorrow, people have to change with that. And there are different sectors of society has to change with that.
Yeah, I agree with that. But, you know, we've got some big players in the world right now. We got Venezuela, who's hoarding their oil. We have China that's hoarding lithium, which the world desperately needs for long storage batteries and for electric vehicles and other things. We have OPEC that's hoarding oil and holding it hostage for hundreds of dollars a barrel. And we have the United States also. We're holding technology back. Good night, how much dark, or not dark, but black technology do we have access to that we've either engineered or reverse engineered that could deliver really cheap, clean, renewable energy to the world? If we would just open the vaults and let this technology out to the world, if people have energy and they have water and they have food, chances are they're not going to fight wars. And Saeed, we've been at war for 1,000 years. It's time to end war.
It is time to end wars, correct. And why we are in Afghanistan is, that's, you know, it baffles my mind as a Middle Eastern for so many years. Why would send American educated troops to middle of mountains in Afghanistan? After studying it for many years, I understood it's not for drugs. We don't need drugs. Drugs are here. We went to Afghanistan for rare earth that China stopped selling us rare earth. And without the rare earth, you cannot build planes. You cannot build a lot of electronics, and a lot of the future of humanity would collapse if America loses rare earth. So then I understood, well, maybe it's a good reason to go to Afghanistan. And Afghanistan would flourish with the amount of rare earth they have, because the dollar amount of that material is tremendous. So
yeah, but why go there with military troops? Why not go there with buyers to pay them for their rare earth so that they can prosper as an industrial nation? Why go there with military to take it? That doesn't make any sense to me.
But that's a military because of... China cannot come down to Persian Gulf through Persian Gulf, as you know, is the most strategic point of the planet, even going back to Sumerians, and where the whole civilization were living there. You know, all the cultures started there in Persian Gulf. So around there, the topology was different at that time. So going back to China, if U.S. doesn't go to Afghanistan in anything in the future, would could stop China reaching that oil, which is Persian Gulf and Iraq and Iran or Middle East surrounding all the countries. That's why U.S. is over there right now. Iraq, it wants to get to Iran, which is the biggest mistake. Iran is a big nation. It's 70 million people. They're not like Iraqis. Iran, they have to communicate with Iranians and sectors of Iranian societies. They have to dialogue or negotiate however they can. These attacking countries and bombing countries, it doesn't have any future for any nation. It's not good for America and face of America. We need to go back to JFK and what America was in a different timeline. Somebody came in and changed America to a very warmonger and individualistic society, which at the time of JFK was not like that. When I was 6-7 years old at the time of Beatles, I was in Iran and I was a kid. And my sister said, let's go to English class tomorrow. I said, well, really? My sister and two brothers. So we didn't know English at that time. This is Iran during Beatles and JFK. So the reason I remember that because Beatles suddenly like Revolution came out and we were singing and dancing to their songs everywhere in the world. So JFK sent language teachers around the world, which 4 or 5 of them at that class, they came to Tehran, Iran, when I was a kid. And I didn't know English. I go there and I see young Americans, very enthusiastic, happy, and teaching English. So what I remember from those days is a kind of positive America who goes around the world to show a good side of America, not that they go bomb the villages in Afghanistan or Iraq or anywhere in the world. This is not the America we want. We want to show what democracy, what a real America is. You go to Europe right now, nobody want to talk to us. They say these people are warmongers. No. So this is about Europeans hating us. So we need to get America back, and we need to understand what we want to do with humanity and future. We need to look into our constitution and look into what forefathers in this nation for 6 months, 76 people wrote for the humanity and what it can do for us. Not that we change it, we shove it under the carpet and start new stuff and militarizing the world and attacking countries. These are, in a way, it might secure a few years of energy for us, but then in the long term, it's got to backfire.
Yeah, I can see that. But, you know, globally, I would say that we're viewed as several different societies. From a governmental standpoint, we are viewed as meddlers, we're viewed as spies, we're viewed as economic manipulators. But as a people, as a working people, we are greatly respected around the world. I know because, you know, I am, for all intents and purposes, a scientist and an industrialist. I manufacture electric vehicles, or do my best to do so. And in doing so, am respected, you know, on several different continents. However, the big admiration is the United States as a market. Not only do they love buying American-made goods, I mean, they really like it. Anything made in America, they love to buy it because they know it's going to be high quality. They know it's going to be advanced technology. They also love to sell to Americans because America is the great marketplace. So on those three levels, we're doing very well, I would say, as an industrial country, as a marketplace, and as a technology provider.
And the food basket of the world, you know.
Yeah, well, pretty much, sure. I mean, Russia has the potential to make more wheat than we do, but we are private enterprise making wheat, and they are a socialist country making wheat, and there's a big difference. But you remember, this last summer, the Russians lost an entire wheat harvest. So you know who they're going to rely on for wheat. It's us. It's the breadbasket. It's Washington State and Oregon, and it's Montana and Iowa. Those are the states that are going to be delivering wheat to Russia this year.
That's right. Russia, it's no comparison to America at this moment because of the technologically they went behind. Plus, they had some years of problems politically. And to catch up, they would need another 20 years. I would say China is catching up faster because of their capability and their money. They can come up faster. And we need to find a way to really understand Chinese and they understand us. Otherwise, we'd be in deep trouble in the future.
Well, that being said, I mean, I do business with the Chinese, and I respect them because of, you know, their hard work and their desire to get ahead. You know, we've traded ideas, we've traded agreements. We're both productive countries, but they reverse engineer from the outside in, and we engineer from the inside out. And there's a big difference. Whatever China builds looks like it's good stuff. But when you start putting it under stress, it falls apart like a daisy smacked with a nine iron. And that's just the difference between American ingenuity and Chinese ingenuity. And that's just the way it is. And you're right, it's going to be that way for another couple of decades. But that being said, they do have the money. They've lent it to us to bail us out of our debt. And we cross our fingers every single day when we go to bed that they won't dump our debt. They will hold on to it and allow the United States to not go bankrupt. It is a very funny situation that we find ourselves in.
And we got a problem, something listeners should understand. There's a Chinese culture, once they lend money, you got to pay them back. This is a topic we were discussing and in different alien events we had.
Right.
You can buy those DVDs on alienevent.com from 3-4 events you had. And the way if the U.S. does not pay back China, that's a trigger point to walk in through the dream of Washington that he saw foreign troops moving from Alaska inside the U.S. This is, of course, we're not trying to be negative here. We're trying to connect things together. So we have to understand Chinese. We have to do business with them. We have to pay them back. And we have to create some kind of agreement to get out of this money business with them. So to create a new humanity with Chinese and Russians and Indians, because India is a big nation now. So and the rest of the world. So if we don't understand these people real fast, the American power struggle would tilt to a side, and which is not good for anybody. So, plus the Europeans, the EU nations. So, this is this is
There's no question about it, and this election in 2012 could be the most important election in the United States history since we elected the second president of the United States, since we moved away from George Washington and really tested the requirement in the Constitution that a president only served two terms. This is really, I think, the most important election that we've had in the last 60 to 70 years. This will determine whether the United States continues as a sovereign democracy, a republic, a representative republic, or whether the office of the presidency collapses the way we predicted it would in the second volume of the Ark of Millions of Years.
There is another prediction and prophecy that President Obama would be reelected and he'd be the last president of U.S. In the presidency mode. For that as a last president. In other words, the system will change after that, and we will have a new America based on different characteristics of government. So this is another timeline that we've been told, we've been looking to, and I saw myself that he'd be reelected.
Well, that's going to be disconcerting to a lot of forces out there, because a lot of people see Obama as the superhero vacation man, and he's not really leading the country. And that they see that as a real weakness. However, if he's reelected, that's going to be a vote in the direction of real apathy as far as the general populace of the country. We really wanted to see change, not seeing it. And that's because the leadership is on vacation all the time. And that's just what the nation sees, and I report it as I see it.
Well, there are earth changes, as we spoke, and there are other factors that will change American policy also. So we pray for America. We pray for the earth at this time. We pray for the future of humanity. We suggest humans local groups. They grow food in their backyards, and they grow tomatoes and whatever food they can create in their backyards, and they trade with each other. They love each other. They create families, and they create communities. You can join us on Facebook. We have a survival group, Alien Shift Survival Group, ASG1. You can type in the Facebook. Alien Ship Survival. We have 400 people. We just started a few weeks ago, about a week ago. And now we are chatting about all the scenarios. We also have disclosure projects on Facebook, 2011 disclosure, if you type in there. 2011 disclosure, we just had a bunch of speakers disclosure on ET disclosure and number of other events that we had on livestream.com/alienship. You can see those videos, and please help Alienship Movement. We are not connected to any government or any group. We survive by light workers donating us a few dollars here and there. Those of you who have deep pockets, please help us on alienship.com. There are donation buttons and PayPal account info@alienship.com. You can help us out as much as you can, especially Europeans have bigger money strength in euro against dollar right now. Please help us out, and we really thank you. If you'd like to contact us, info@alienship.com or info@alienevent.com, we will bring our speakers, especially Dr. Brooks Agnew. He's one of the biggest speakers we had in past events to Europe. We've been invited to London, but we don't have the financial backbone to go there, or other parts of the world. And please help us out to create events and live stream. We would like to go high definition without advertising. So help us there. info@alienship.com, PayPal account. Thank you. I'm sorry, Dr. Agnew.
That's all right. That's all right. Thank you very much for coming out of time. It's been my pleasure to have my friend and my colleague, Saeed David Fireman, on the program. Representing Alien Shift and the New Hope for Humanity. It's been my pleasure to be on this program a few times, and it's also my pleasure to have him on our program. And thank you so much for the phone calls, tonight. Great contributions, great energy. Sorry the Jets lost. Looks like it's going to be Packers and Steelers in the Super Bowl. Should be a pretty good game anyway, though. Hey, the Super Bowl is what it is, high energy. It's the most popular sport in America. Thank you so much, David, for coming on the program.
Thank you.
Peace to you, my friend.
God bless. Thank you.
God bless you. All right, I will impose upon my studio out in Paradise, California, bbsradio.com, to play my exit music, because, for some reason, my music isn't coming through the board so that you all can hear it. So I bid you adieu, and I will see you next week right here on X Squared Radio. Thank you so much.
It has been a great pleasure to have you here with us this evening. Tell a friend about us, because every Sunday evening at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, we bring you the best 3 hours of exploration into the mysteries of the universe and of the Earth. If you're not getting all 3 hours, send us the call letters of your local station and we'll do the rest. Remember, Earth Explorers, that you are Source. Everything we do will eventually affect the universe, so try to do it on purpose. Reach out for the good in people and help it to grow a little every day. And before long, you will have saved the planet. This is X Squared Radio saying, peace, Earth Explorers.